If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ben Simmons says that the Chicago Bulls have one of the bleakest futures in the NBA. Is that accurate? We're going to talk a little bit about that and why the rise of Modest Bouzelis and really Noah Essengay, once he's ready as well, is hugely important to the future and how this is going to play out for the Chicago Bulls. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And we're going to start off with this thing from Bill Simmons, right? Bill Simmons, he was on the show and they were talking about teams that you would not want to be over the next 5 years, right? And of course, somehow the Chicago Bulls come up, which I can understand in a way, right? I think in fairness, you can kind of understand with everything that the Bulls have been through. And Bill Simmons kind of lays it out pretty well. Let's go ahead and play the clip here.
What roster, situation, picks, contracts, assets, everything? Who would you not want to be for the rest of the 2020s if you could pick one team? My number one was Chicago. I stared at it.
This is your least favorite one.
Yeah, Chicago. Here's why.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't love a single guy in their roster. Maybe Bouzelis.
You like him.
Gunpoint, yeah. I like Bouzelis. Well, is he going to make an All-NBA team? I don't know. They have $85 million in expirings this season, right? So you think like, oh, look out for the Bulls, summer 2026. They've just never been that team. We've never seen it. They haven't paid the luxury tax in forever. Kobe White's about to be a free agent. That scares me. Like, what is his next contract? I just don't know what this team is. Like, if I'm a Bulls fan, what am I excited about? My owners have already made it very clear to me we're never going to really spend money. I just don't really know what this team is other than a team that's going to go 40 and 42 every year. So that's my number one pick.
All right. And so, you know, in that, you know, talking about it, and I love that, A, he can't pronounce Modest Bouzelis' name, Bouzelis. But with that, first of all, Bouzelis, is that, if Modest ever starts a THC company, there you go. But, you know, he does point out that he does like Modest Bouzelis. You know, didn't really mention anything about Noah Essengay. Talked about how Kobe White, that he's up for a contract soon. Didn't really mention Josh Giddey either, Iota Sumo in that. And of course, a lot of Bulls fans have taken this, especially my already skies falling Bulls fans. Like, see, we don't even have a good future. And here's the thing, right? It can go very quickly from you having a promising future to you, being out of it, and vice versa, right? All it takes is one season, one solid season, a full season for all of a sudden it to be from they have a bleak outlook to things are looking better. You look at it, for example, let's take one of the positive to negative sides. That Orlando Magic team, when they went to the finals with Jameer Nelson and Dwight Howard, people thought that that team was going to be making fun. There was almost no way that they weren't going to be in another finals in the upcoming years. Never happened again, right? Never happened again. That team actually was just they still won games. They were still a tough team, but was on the downside after that and kept going down there. Right. Let's look on the flip side of it. How quickly has it gone from the Detroit Pistons being the worst team in the league to now this year? Now people are looking at them as a team with the most upside. And you know, that came from Cade taking another step. So, you know, I get it. I understand it. I think when you look at like how teams, and this is a thing about projections and future and potential and upside and things like that. And a lot of the Bulls have that to prove. And I've basically said the same myself in just a different way, right? Like when I say things like the Bulls yet have not shown them, they don't have a player that's shown and proven that you can build a team just around their skill set and what they're able to do and how they're able to uplift a team. We don't. I know that people get caught up in what Kobe can do scoring-wise and the fact that he can put up huge numbers, and he can, and he's an amazing scorer. When Kobe White gets in the rhythm, he's one of the most special scorers to watch in the game of basketball. When he goes into that zone, he's damn near unstoppable. People look at Josh Giddey and say, well, Hayes, Josh, he puts in so, like, shout out to the Josh Giddey stands. He bets on himself. He cares about the team first. Like, yeah, okay, and that's all fine and dandy, and you're not wrong on any of that. But Josh Giddey has not shown yet consistently on a basketball court that he's the one guy that you can build the entire team around and you be a team that's going to go on successful, huge, long playoff runs. He just has not shown that. I think that that's fair in saying that. I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that. Again, people get so caught up in it has to be praise for you to take it positively. And if it's anything other than that, if it's any type of criticism, then it means that you have to be talking down to a player. And that's not, I hate to tell y'all, if Kobe White or Josh Giddey prove themselves to be a player that you can build a whole entire successful team around, guess what? We wouldn't even be having this conversation. It would be proven. They haven't proved it yet. They've shown flashes. Absolutely. They've shown absolute flashes, but you can't build a team around a flash. They have to do it consistently. And keep in mind, this is not me saying that I don't want either one of these guys on the team. I want to see them both stay on this Bulls team because I want them to give I want them to have a chance to continue to prove whatever they can be, but people get so caught up in who they want a player to be that they miss out on who they are at this point in time right now. And yeah, potential is you can have all the potential in the world. It doesn't mean you're going to hit on it, right? So that's just what it comes down to. The Bulls have to get into that position and become that winning team and have a player that steps up in the biggest moments consistently before you can say that. You know, I'm somebody who Paolo Banchero just signed a contract extension, and I'm in it with the comment section over on NBA Central with somebody because they're like, how can you not say he's a superstar yet? It's like, go walk into a random grocery store and ask a 50-year-old if they know who Paolo Banchero is. Like, you're not a superstar yet. So, like, maybe I just judge those things a little bit too harsh. He's a star, make no mistake about it, and definitely has the potential to be that. But, you know, again, sidetracked. So I am not one that I took that this clip and I took it personally or I took it. Now, I do think there are teams with way bleaker outlooks overall as a franchise. Like, I, for one, said the Hornets. I think they're just because their franchise stinks in general and they miss on everything. But nonetheless, you know, this isn't something that I've taken personally. It's not something that I've taken and looked at and said it's some huge knock or slight to the Chicago Bulls and the players that we have here. And I think that in some shape, form, or fashion as well, it's also a doubt around this front office and their ability to actually do something. And I think most Bulls fans are going to admit, yeah, there's a reason why that stigma is there when it comes to the Chicago Bulls in the front office. Like have they gotten it right? And that's something that we still need to see on. It does seem like there are some things like Modest Muzela seems like he's going to be a hit for this team. Absolutely. Right. And we'll talk a little bit more about him in a second. But for the Bulls' future and the outlook to look better, guess what? Has to come down and they have to show it on the field, on the basketball court. And, you know, a 25-ish game stretch is great. And that's great. And I'm not one to knock that stretch because I said this on Twitter before. Like, you have some fans that say the beginning of the season until the end of December doesn't matter. You have some Bulls fans that say, or some fans in basketball say, oh, February and March basketball don't matter. So it's like, all right, so y'all think 1.5 seasons in the, 1.5 month in the season actually matters? Like, it's not that. So, you know, people have their views, but I think you got to show the consistency to really get there. And that's just what's missing here from the Bulls. We don't have consistency. The front office has made some good moves this offseason. I think that they've shown a vision and a direction that they're buying into. Now they still have players around that, you know, some Bulls fans are like, well, we're really going to say that means we got to trade everybody. It's like, chill out. You don't have to do that either. But, you know, we still got some business items left. Nikola Vucevic is a business item that's left on this team. You got to figure out what's going on there. I've already warned y'all, do not be surprised if somehow Nikola Vucevic ends up signing the contract extension, but I'll save that trauma for another day. We just got things that we need to prove. And it has to happen on the basketball court. And so it's not going to happen through this offseason. It's not going to happen through me talking behind this microphone. It's not going to happen. It's going to be people who don't believe in what the Bulls are doing or trying to build here until they're successful on the basketball court. And I can tell you, as an objective basketball fan, I don't see any problem with that. If you really believe in what you have here and somebody says, all right, bet, go out and prove it, you know, it may not happen. Like, some people are like, well, we got to go out and win 45 games this year. I don't think that that's, that that shows that Modest can be a guy or whatever else, just if you put some arbitrary number. But you got to be, you got to grow, and you got to show it on the court. You got to show it consistently. And that's the thing that you have to get to. And I think once the Bulls start doing that, start winning more consistently, regardless of what it is, that's where you start seeing some of the mindset change around this team. But hell, we can't even as a fan base agree right now what's the Bulls should be doing. You think the national media is going to have a positive outlook on this team? Very rarely does that happen. Very rarely do you have a fan base that is in such turmoil, and the national media then looks at that team, not because of the fan base being in turmoil, but that's usually an indication of things not being as straightforward, not being as decided as what a franchise needs it to be to really have huge faith in it. And that's just the point that the Bulls play in, and AK and Eversley have a huge part to play in all of that. And that leads me to the next topic, right? In talking about the Bulls' future and the future being bleak, the thing that we have to talk about is what changes that. Now, I just talked about Kobe and Josh Giddey. Those two guys got to continue to show that the growth that we saw last year. Kobe White had way less inconsistencies last year than in any other year of his career. Hopefully, for once as well, his role doesn't change from year to year, so you got that. Josh Giddey finished the season extremely strong, right? And I've said a lot before, Josh Giddey created almost 18 points off assist a game last year. And when you pair into that with what he did scoring-wise, like there are times where Josh Giddey was accounting for 30, 35% of our overall offense last year. And Kobe White was accounting for almost another 30 with his scoring and his ability to create off drives, right? So, you know, they just got to show it a little bit more. But there are two other guys on this team.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Team that are hugely important to changing the outlook of the future of the franchise, and that's Modest Bouzelis and Noah Essengay. Now, Noah Essengay is a rookie, so we're not going to put a lot, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about him because he's going to go through normal rookie things. There are going to be Bulls fans that if he has a game where he goes 0-5 from the field, they're going to, and do not let Cedric Coward or do not let Thomas Sorber have a big game, because then it's going to be, oh my God, calamity. It's going to be Bulls fans whining and complaining, and you know, it is what it is there. But Noah and how he ends up pairing with Matas is going to be hugely important for that. I think Noah and what he does, establishing what he does well early. I'm not saying that I expect Noah Essengay to play a lot of minutes in his rookie year. I don't expect that, especially not to start. But in those minutes, how good does the defense that you have is there, right? Modest Bouzelis, ahead of summer league training camp opening yesterday, talked about Noah Essengay and the defense that he has there and saying he's going to get better offensively. But, you know, his love of basketball really stood out. And so that's something that, and it seems like we're starting to get those guys that really want to be great. And that goes a long way, too, because you talk about a guy like Patrick Williams, one of the things that you couldn't really, that you couldn't foresee is the fact that he had no drive to be great. It seems like Noah Essengay is one of the players that's also driven by that to be great. And how much he can show defensively in this rookie year, I think, is going to be important. And the offense is going to come over time. I think the offense is going to be more of a work in progress over time, but you're looking at that. But then we get to Modest Bouzelis. And how important is Modest to what the Bulls are doing, not only in the future, but now, right? And I think that's a huge part to that, is that when people talk about the Bulls moving on from Nikola Vucevic, and why would the Bulls move on from Vuce? One of the things that we talked about recently was the Isaiah Stewart for Nikola Vucevic trade rumors. And a lot of Bulls fans are like, well, why would we give up somebody who scores less than 10 points a game for 18 and 11 guy? And of course, defense is one of those harder things to look at the stat sheet. But I think part of that, if the Bulls would move Nikola Vucevic in that type of move, I do think it's because they expect Matas Bouzelis to have a big leap from year one to year two and be ready to take on more of an offensive workload. I'm not expecting Modest to go from the 9 shots per game last year all of a sudden up to like 17, 18. I'm not expecting him to double it year after year, from one year to another. But I do expect Modest to come out into the season probably getting 10, 11, or 12 shots per game, and that may be increasing as the season goes on. But Modest is such an important part over the Bulls' future. And I want to be clear, it's a different thing that I'm saying than the people that are like, yeah, Modest is ready to be our superstar right now. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that Modest has to be ready to take on a larger portion of the workload and perform well in that. If this Bulls future is going to turn around, you do need Amatis Bouzelis to step up. And I think that he's ready for that. I think that he's ready for a larger role. Towards the end of last season, we started seeing more opportunities for Amatis to have the ball in his hands and even do some point forward things. I think that's going to be part of the evolution for Amatis. I'm not necessarily looking for Amatis to go all of a sudden, like I said, to 15, 16 shots per game. He can get consistently to double digits, 11, 12, right, is where I want him at. I think that that's really good for him. But I want to see Amatis have more opportunity. I think when you look at Coby White and his ability that he's trying to grow as an off-ball player, I think as you look at Isaac Okoro and his ability to be a catch-and-shoot player, as well as Iodesumu was growing that part of his game before he went down with injury, having a guy at the power forward that can operate some of your offense for you, that goes a long way into kind of changing that mold for you a little bit. And I think that's what that they have to look at when it comes down to that. Amatis has to be ready to do more. And Amatis Bouzelis, who goes from his rookie year averaging 8 points per game, 8.6 points per game, to get being somebody that's maybe more around 13 or 14 points per game, that's the modest uptick that you want to see from him. Now, if he can do more than that, if he can go for one of those players that has a solid rookie season to coming into their second year, you're talking about 17, 18 points per game, that'll be great. I'm just not going to put that expectation on him until I see the way that this team's going to operate offense, because as long as you do have a player like Nikola Vucevic who is efficient and getting 18 points off 14 shots per game, you're still going to run some offense for him. And you're not going to completely phase out Nikola Vucevic in this offense. You're just not going to do that. So that's why I'm not seeing that huge leap from Amatis. I also think Josh Giddey, Kobe, they're still going to have the ball in their hands a whole lot, and that's perfectly fine. But you want to see those building blocks, right? I always go to this. Greg Popovich once described developing a player, and he was talking about Kawhi Leonard, as adding Legos, right? You lay your base Lego down. Then you add that. That could be your defense, right? On top of that, your base is your defense. Then on top of that, the next year, all right, bet. Now let's get you scoring in isolation a little bit more. Or it's all right, bet, let's get you more mid-range opportunities, right? Let's get you coming off screens. Let's get that opportunity for you. That's the next Lego. Now that you've come off screens, now that you've added a mid-range game, bet. Let's see you dribble a little bit more and create a shot for yourself a little bit more. Bet. Now you're creating a shot for yourself. Let's see you create for others, right? So that's how player development, it's not linear. It's not in the place where you come in and so many people are like, yeah, by year three, you need to know exactly who a player is. These players are coming in so raw nowadays that you can't really say that as much as you used to. But I do think you can add something and trickle in the responsibilities of a player over time. Now, that comes down to coaching, but it also comes down to Amatis Bouzelis and the mentality that he shows in training camp. We know that Amatis is a dog. And if Amatis comes into training camp in a way where he's basically showing, hey, no, let me get that, right? Let me get that. Calling for the ball, doing those type of things. Billy Donovan and the coaching staff can only ignore that for so long, so you hope that Amatis is going to be ready to start showing those aspect of things heading into it. But he's hugely important. And this is why I did say, even before the Amatis Bouzelis draft pick, the Bulls' next first-round picks, they got to hit on. Now, by hit, it doesn't mean everybody has to turn into a star, but they have to show themselves to be able to be NBA-caliber players. And not necessarily right away. Of course, that takes a time. Amatis, he showed it right away, right? Noah Essengay, a little bit more raw, very young when it comes down to it. So he has more of a longer leash there. But you want these two, you have to have these two guys work for you. Because if they don't, you're back to the drawing board in the sense that you have to find then another young crop of talent. P. Will, it's not in the plans anymore. It is what it is. He can earn still a role with this team. He's going to have to come into training camp, but he isn't. And two players as well that I did not mention is still Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry. I get it that a lot of people are over the Dalen Terry experiment. Some people actually want to see Dalen have more of a larger role this year. I think with bringing in Isaac Okoro and Iodesumu coming back, it does mean that one of Julian and Dalen probably aren't going to consistently be in the rotation. So they're going to have to bring it in training camp. But that's the place that I love to be in as a franchise. When you have open roles and you're expecting those guys to come into that throughout training camp and earn their spots in the rotation, I'm never somebody who's going to be mad at that. Never going to be somebody that's mad at that at all. So that's what you got to do. The Bulls, the future being bleak, whatever you want to call it, the Bulls have ways out of it. And despite the doubt around, the understandable doubt around the pieces on this Bulls roster, this is an opportunity. What AK and Eversley have done in not going out and making a big splash move, it puts a higher spotlight on the young guys and the guys that were already on this team and how they need to step up. And again, I said this before, a big evaluation year because everything is off the board basically next season. Everything is off the board, meaning that you don't have Kobe's not under contract. Io's not under contract. Vooch isn't under contract. Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, not under contract, right? These guys are all potentially be gone, right? And so if you don't, if a Kobe and Josh Giddey backcourt looks shaky next season, you can easily pivot off of it. And so what AK and Eversley have really done by laying out the groundwork and what they've done this offseason is that they've given themselves latitude, meaning that we can completely pivot off this roster if we need to at the end of the season, or we can retain these guys, and then we still have enough cap space to add, to make additions to what they need to do to be successful. And that's a place that smart front offices put themselves in. Io DeSumo, Kobe White, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, Nikola Vucevic, Javon Carter, but nobody cares about that. Those are players that all could be off the board. Dalen Terry could be gone next season if he does not work out for the Chicago Bulls and doesn't step up in restricted free agency and show that he's a player that may need to stick around. So there's a lot of pivot places for this team to be able to come off of it if they need to do that. And we shall see if that's what the Bulls end up doing. So this is going to be a season where it's either going to be an I told you so from the tanking Bulls fans, or it's going to be from the Chicago Bulls, see why we didn't tank, see what we're building here. Now let's continue to add to that. And I'm not necessarily mad at that being the place that the Bulls are in. I know there's some Bulls fans, again, are more frustrated because they want the flashy names. They want the big splashy moves every offseason. And not every offseason is going to be about that. But I do think we're getting to that place where if things work out this season, next offseason could be that one where they attempt to do that. So it may be a little tough to do that, but they could attempt to do that. We just got to see if they're going to be successful at it. They're going to be lucky. I'll take either. I'm fine being lucky. I'm fine going out there and being more aggressive and finding success. I'm fine with either. As long as it ends up with the Bulls finding ways to win basketball games consistently, that's all I need to see from the team. So you guys can let me know how you feel on all that down below. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.